Before we knew Jesus, we walked in darkness. And we did not and we could not see the truth, for truth is light. And Jesus is the truth. Once we have the truth living in us, we never walk in darkness again. So if you see people who say they have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they bear testimony of that knowledge, yet they walk in darkness, you need to question that, because people who have the light living in them do not walk in darkness any longer. They walk in light.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Brother Mark preached out of 1 John chapter 1 in his sermon titled, Jesus Eternal. And now, Brother Mark.
The theme today must be grace, because we did Marvelous Grace, and I had that song picked out, and you know, it's like God's putting things together that has to do with grace. We're going to be looking in 1 John. I think we might do a little series on 1 John. I'm kind of looking at that anyway. But we're going to do the first chapter today. And I've called the title of this message, Jesus Eternal. Jesus Eternal. 1 John. Chapter 1. If you would, stand with me as we read out of the Word of God. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the Word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen, and we have bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard and declare to you, that also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these blessings and these things we write to you, that your joy might be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let us pray. Father God, bless your word to our hearts. Lord, cause us in our heart to have unrest because of your word. Cause us in our heart, Lord, to have conviction because of your word. Cause us in our heart, Lord, to have a desire to change, to repent, and to move closer to you and walk with you every day. Lord, we need you and we need your word in this day and time in which we live more than anything else. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk about three things: Jesus before, Jesus as a man, and Jesus after the cross. Jesus before, verse 1 says, that which was from the beginning. Jesus in Revelations 1:8 said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and was and is to come, the Almighty. Revelations 21:6 says it this way. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give the spring of water of life without payment. Revelations 22:13 said, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus is part of the Trinity. There's God the Father, God as we know God, as God is written about in the Word. There's God the Son, Jesus Christ, His only Son, who died on the cross for our sins. And there's God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus are all God. They are all the Trinity. The three are the Godhead. And the three are eternal beings. And they're neither created or destroyed. They always was, they always are, and they always will be. The Trinity of God is much like water. Water can occur in three different forms. Yet all three are H2O. There's water in the liquid form, water we drink. There's water in the solid form, ice that we put in our drinks. And then there's water in the vapor form, steam as it comes off the coffee. So we have water in three different forms, but they're all water. Amen? Much the same is true with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all God. They're just in different forms. The Bible points to the fact that Jesus always was with God in the beginning. If Jesus was always with God in the beginning, do you not think that God had a plan for the redemption of man because God knew that man would fall? So God always had a plan. John 1 says it this way, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that had been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Talking about Jesus Christ, who was with God always from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, we see the fall of man, and we all know that story, how Satan tempted woman to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan lied to the woman, and he twisted the truth to get her to eat the fruit. The Bible says that Satan asked the woman, "Did God really say that you should not eat of every tree? You will not surely die, for God knows that on the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." After Adam and Eve both ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, their eyes were opened and now sin entered into the world. Up until now, they had only known good and not evil. There was no sin in the world up until the point that they took of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. It was the same moment that man needed a Savior. Amen? Because before Adam and Eve fell, before they sinned, there was no sin in the world. There was no need for a Savior. But Jesus was always there because God knew that man would fall and that man would sin and sin would enter the world. And from that point on, every person that's ever been born was born into sin. And every person that has ever been born after Adam needed a Savior. Now, because sin entered the world, so did conviction. Because Adam and Eve knew they had sinned against God, they knew what they had done, and they made themselves some covering, some clothes out of some fig trees. God came looking for His beloved, and He called out to them. He said, "Adam, Eve, Adam, where are you?" Adam said, "We're hiding from you because we've sinned against you, God." God says, "How do you know that you've sinned against me?" And He says, "Well, we took of this fruit of the tree, and now we know that we have sinned against you and done what you told us not to." Now, they were hiding from God because they had sinned against Him in much the same way that you and I do. Amen? When we sin against God, we hide. Why do you think it is that most of the evil that's done in today's world is done after the sun goes down? It's done in darkness because they think because it's dark, nobody can see their sin. But you know what? It said in the Word of God that we read that the darkness could not overcome the light, and the light shines right through the darkness, and God sees all sin. Now the consequences of sin, let's notice that. Even though God covers our sins when we ask for forgiveness and repent, there are still consequences for sin. Satan was condemned first by the very woman he tempted and lied to, and would later bring forth the incarnate God that would defeat Satan once and for all of eternity. The consequences of Eve's sin was that all women would have pain in childbirth, and that men would rule over women. So, all you women out there who've suffered pain in childbirth and have resented men for ruling over you, you can take that up with Eve. The consequences of Adam's sin was that men will work hard all the days of their life, and your garden will be full of thistles and locust trees, and you'll spend most of your time providing for your family in the midst of pestilence and hard times. Life will be hard. Amen? And that's the way it is. That's the way it is because of sin that entered into the world. And from that sin that entered into the world, we all have the consequence of sin to pay. God looked at them coverings that Adam and Eve made to cover themselves, and He could see right through them. They did not cover their sin. God made them coverings that covered their sins. And we know that we try to cover up our sin all the time, but God sees right through all that. Amen? And when God covers our sins, He doesn't see our sin any longer. This is the first reference in Scripture that I'm aware of that points to Jesus in the Old Testament. If we look at verse 21, it says, "Also Adam and Eve," this is of chapter 3, it says, "Also for Adam and Eve, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them." We see one blood sacrifice and multiple coverings. We know that Jesus died on the cross one time, once and for all people, amen? And from that death, from that one blood sacrifice, He made multiple coverings. He covers the sin of everybody who comes to Him and says, "I am a sinner. I want you to come into my heart and save me. I want you to forgive me of my sins, and I repent of them, and I want you to be Lord of my life." And He forgives your sins. He covers you with that tunic of Jesus Christ's blood. And your covering is such that God does not see your sin any longer. Jesus always was from the beginning, and He alone is the covering for sin. Let's look at Jesus as incarnate. Jesus as man. God coming to earth as man. God, John says that they have seen Him and that they heard Him and that they touched Him in our text. He's the real deal. John says the Word was brought to life, and we disciples bear witness to the fact that Jesus is God. We're telling you this so that you will see, you will hear, and you will touch Jesus and taste of the heavenly gift and become partakers with us in eternal life. We have fellowship with Jesus Christ, and we want you to have the same fellowship so that your joy might be full. Why do we go out and share the good news with people? So that they might come to the saving knowledge of the grace of God through Jesus Christ and His blood atonement, and their sin might be covered so that their joy might be full. Do you know that in this world, all the things that we're seeing, all the anarchy, all the protests, all the things that are going on, people are doing that because their joy is not full. If they had Jesus Christ in their heart, if they were living for the Lord, their joy would be full, and they would be content with life, and that they would have all that they need in Jesus. Galatians 4:4-7 says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit of His Son in your heart, and you cry out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave to sin, and if a son, then you are an heir of God through Jesus Christ." Remember the consequence of sin for Satan in Genesis was tempting Eve? You remember that? Here the Word documents the fact that Jesus came to earth through the virgin birth of a woman. You remember that the consequence for Satan was that the woman would be the fall of Satan, right? And this is where it happened. This is where it took place because Mary, Virgin Mary, gave birth to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the incarnate God who came to earth and died on the cross for all the sins of mankind. Jesus defeated Satan because of that. Jesus defeated Satan once and for all, and he made them multiple coverings of tunics from the blood and the body that was broken for you that you might be covered in your sin. Back to John 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He also came to witness. We're in St. John, okay? John chapter 1. There was a man sent from God, and his name was John, and he came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself is not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. We're talking about John the Baptist, the one who went around eating grasshoppers and had animal skins for clothes. And the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world, and he was in the world. And through the world was made through, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to be children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh. That Word that he was talking about in the first part. The Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and he cried out saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' And out of his fullness we have received all grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. So we see this whole witness, this whole testimony of who Jesus was, who Jesus proclaimed to be, and the disciples all bear witness. Everybody who's seen Jesus, who was with Jesus, who wrote about Jesus in the Word of God, are all bearing witness to the fact that Jesus is who he said he was. He's the Son of God. Back to our text, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him, and we declare it to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we are lying, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, the famous verse, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. After you receive Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, you no longer walk in darkness. Before we knew Jesus, we walked in darkness. And we did not and we could not see the truth, for truth is light. And Jesus is the truth. Once we have the truth living in us, we never walk in darkness again. So if you see people who say they have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they bear testimony of that knowledge, yet they walk in darkness, you need to question that, because people who have the light living in them do not walk in darkness any longer. They walk in light. And we should walk in light because the light is in us. And the light shines through the darkness, right? The darkness could not overcome the light. And if you have the light living in you, darkness will not prevail. The light prevails. So once we have the truth living in us, we never walk in darkness again. How can you walk in darkness if you have a light in you that has eternal life batteries? You know, you've heard of ever readies? Yeah, these are greater than ever readies. They never quit. They never go out. They don't need recharge. It's eternal life batteries. You think you will ever need batteries again? No. You have the light living in you. The light that never goes out. The light that, by the way, that light don't have a switch. It ain't like you can turn Jesus off and go to the bar and drink with your buddies and then come out of the bar and then sleep that off and then the next morning turn Jesus back on. That's not the way it works. Amen? You have the light in you and you live according to the light. There's no switch. There's no off-on switch. Without a switch, you don't need to worry about vacillating between light and darkness. You don't need to worry about the switch going bad. It don't go bad because there's no switch. You're direct. You're wired direct. Vernon knows what that means, right? It's direct wiring. You're hooked to the hotline, and there's no switch to turn it off or on. It's live feed. You're either His child or you're not His child. Amen? You are or you aren't. You're either born again or you're not born again. You either have the light or you don't have the light. You're either walking with God or you're walking against God. Jesus, after Calvary and the resurrection, defeated death and hell and Satan, and Jesus provides an avenue to all who believe on Him to have eternal light. And that is the light that never goes out. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. All the other brothers and sisters who are walking in the light, we all have fellowship because we all have the commonality of the light that's living in us. And that gives us fellowship together. And we have that light living in us, and the blood of Jesus makes a covering from God that covers all of our sins. The great verse, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The finished work of Jesus on the cross is to every person who believes on Him. Philippians 1:6 says, be confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We are secure in the finished work of the cross. And once we have Jesus in our heart, we don't walk the same anymore. We don't walk like we used to walk. We don't talk like we used to talk. We don't act like we used to act. We don't live in the muck and mire where we used to live. Amen? Romans 8 says this, there's therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Jesus Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do not mind, for they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, they think about and do the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because of the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you're walking in the flesh, if you do not have the light in you, no amount of good that you do pleases God. Because you cannot please God if you're walking in the flesh. If you do not have the Spirit living in you, you cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. So be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. It's pretty plain and simple right there, amen? If you don't have Jesus living in you, you are not a child of God. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You have that light of living in you. You have the Spirit living in you, and you are righteous. Righteous means that you are without sin. So how did you become without sin? Because you asked Jesus to forgive you, and He lives in you, and He gave you a covering. So that when God looks on us, He don't see us in our sin. He sees Jesus, who is sinless. Because He lives in us. The light is in us. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And He that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. You see how that works? Once you have the light living in you, once the Spirit's living in you, the Spirit begins to work on you on the inside to make you more and more like Jesus. And that is manifested on the outside, hopefully. Amen? So your walk should be becoming more and more like Christ every day. That's called sanctification. You're becoming more and more like Jesus every day because the light lives in you and you cannot contain the light. The light overcomes the darkness and you become more and more like the light every day. Therefore, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you live through the Spirit, you mortify the deeds of the body. You shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are children of God. And we know them, how? By their fruits. We see the light manifested on the outside, and they have fruits as believers. And that fruit is evidence that the Spirit lives in them. We get down to that really notable verse. After starting in 35, says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are not accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature." Is there anything left out there? No. He didn't leave one thing out. There's not one jot or tittle left out. Everything is covered there. Nothing can be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is to everybody who has the light living in them. If you have the light in you, you are bought and paid for with a price. You are secure in your salvation, and nothing can pluck you out of His hand. None of the things that was mentioned there, nothing, there's nothing left. Nothing can take you out of God's hands because God is all powerful and He has you in His hand. Praise God that God has us in His hand, and it's not up to us to stay in His hand. It's up to Him to keep us, and He keeps us well. Amen. We are a kept people. In conclusion, Jesus before, Jesus always was, always is, and always will be. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus incarnate, the Bible gives this testimony from all those who have seen and heard and touched Jesus. God came to dwell on earth and He dwelt among us so that He might go to the cross and die for us and defeat death and hell and Satan once and for all, as was prophesied in Genesis 3. And we read that, right? And then Jesus after. Jesus is the propitiation of our sin, the replacement, the scapegoat for all of us. Because of the finished work on Calvary, we have an opportunity to live in the light. And the eternal light leads us to eternal life. There are two roads in life that people can choose to walk. One road leads to eternal life with Jesus, and the other road leads to eternal death. The road that leads to eternal death leads to a place called hell, where there's continual death and damnation, where there's torment and the worm never dies, where you're constantly hurting and in pain, but nothing can quench that. The election has already been made to all people who have the opportunity to choose Jesus Christ and go to heaven and live there eternally with Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not die but have everlasting life. Jesus will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's holding you in His hand if you know Him and you have the light living in you. This morning, maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never asked Him to come in and you don't have that light in you. And you would like to know how you could get the light, how you could have Jesus Christ live inside of you in the form of His Holy Spirit, God's Spirit living in you, so that you're walking in the light and you have your joy fulfilled and you have eternal life with Jesus Christ. Well, the answer to that is you have to come before God and say, God, I have sin in my heart. I have sinned against You. And I want You to forgive me of my sins. And I believe that You are God's Son. I believe that You died on the cross and that God resurrected You from the dead. And that You have victory over death and hell and Satan. And You are able to save me and put Your light in me. And I would like for You to do that and forgive me of my sins. I hate my sin. I want to repent of my sin and turn away from my sin. And I want You to be Lord of my life. And if you ask God in a prayer to do that very thing, He will come into your heart and save you, and you will be a child of God forever, and you will have the light in you. And then that light will fulfill your joy in life. If you've been walking and your joy is not fulfilled, you're not content with your life, Jesus is knocking and asking you to let Him in, that He might fulfill your joy, that He might be your light and your Lord and give you eternal life. Maybe as a believer, we've not had the fruit that we should have. And we would like to ask God to forgive us for not being fruitful as His children, for not letting that light shine out of us to all those around us. And we can repent of that, and we can ask God to forgive us of that sin. And when we get right with God and we begin to pray, God hears our prayers and God answers our prayers according to His will. And God wants to hear from us. And He wants us to call upon His name. And you know what? God wants to heal our land. But God wants more than that. He wants His children to repent. He wants His children to get right so that He will heal our land. Would you stand and pray with me, Father God? This morning, I pray that You would have Your will and Your way during this invitation time. And Lord, that You would have Your will and Your way in our heart. Lord, I pray this morning that if there's someone here this morning that does not know You, that does not have the light living in them, that today would be the day of salvation for them, that today they would just step out from wherever they are and come forward and pray and ask You to come into their heart and live there and be the light inside them, that they might have eternal life with You forever, that their joy might be fulfilled. Lord, I pray this morning as Your children, Lord, that we have stifled the fruit that You want to produce in us and through us. And Lord, I pray that if that's the case, Lord, that we would just repent of that and that, Lord, we would allow Your light to shine out of us and be manifested in the physical realm, that people might see You and that they might want what we have. Lord, You are the greatest joy, the greatest peace that can ever take place on this side of heaven. Lord, I just pray this morning that we would have that peace, that we would, as Your children and Lord, as people that have never known You, Lord, I pray today would be the day that they ask for that light, that they allow that light to shine out of them. Lord, we pray You'd have Your will and Your way during this invitation time, and we'll give You all the praise and glory. Lord, we need you. We pray for healing in our country. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Be singing page 320.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in a local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.